Hello, Pittsburgh. This is Trib Lives from the Newsroom, a podcast bringing you top stories from TribLive.com. I'm your host, Zach Gibson. This episode, Ryan Dito joins me to talk about the Steel City identity staple, the Pittsburgh Inclines. Inclines were built in the 1870s to easily and quickly transport Pittsburghers to their destinations throughout the city. Pittsburgh was once home to 15 inclines or funiculars, but as time chugged on, the railways were eclipsed by the efficiency of trolley systems and later cars. Here to talk about the decline of inclines nationwide and the state of Pittsburgh's sibling rails is Ryan Dito. Ryan, thank you for joining me.
Hey Zach, thanks for having me.
Okay, so can you lay out the origin of the inclines in the relationship with Pittsburgh?
Yeah, like you were saying, they started in the 1870s. The Mon Incline is the oldest incline. It's still operating, so that makes it the oldest operating incline in the country, actually. Yeah, they were actually the kind of the first American public transportation or motorized public transportation, I should say. They used to have trolley cars that were pulled by horses back in the day. So inclines were, you know, they kind of popped up because they presented this opportunity to get up and down our steep hills with ease. There were a lot in the 1870s, like the 1870s, like the 1890s was kind of the heyday. Most of them were actually just on Mount Washington. They all had different names. Some of them had like Castle Shannon and Bellevue and all this stuff. That was just because once they got up to Mount Washington, they connected to different lines that then took you other places, like to Castle Shannon and these other places. But basically, most of them were on Mount Washington, in, as it was known back then, Coal Hill. And it was basically just because they transferred coal up and down the hill. That was really their main purpose. It was that and presenting a new opportunity for people to live up on the hill. They wanted to get away from the smog, the pollution that existed in our river valleys, because there was so much, you know, industry in Pittsburgh around then. And so it was like, how do we make some new, nicer residential neighborhoods? Let's take the incline up there.
With all of those inclines shuttling and helping Pittsburghers commute throughout that time, we were the king of the hill, in a manner of speaking, in the nation for inclines, correct?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's no other city that really even comes close to the amount we had. I think probably had, like, throughout time, not all running at once, but 18 or something like inclines. I think at one particular time they're like 15 that were all running. You know, they were fairly popular in other parts of the country too, but Pittsburgh outshines them. I mean, 15, that's so many, it's a crazy amount. Yeah.
So even today, it's hard to find an American city with one public funicular, but Pittsburgh is the only town that has two. So Pennsylvania, as you added in your story, is the U.S. capital of inclined railways. And in this region from Pittsburgh to Altoona, we have four.
Yeah. I think a lot of that is just that it's that industrial legacy that we have. You know, it's the fact that not only industrial legacy, but the geography. Western Pennsylvania is really hilly. Johnstown is another city in PA that still has an incline, even though it's been struggling to operate as well. But it has been operating. That's the same. It looks really similar to Pittsburgh's, actually. It's like at the confluence of rivers, and then it goes up a hill from there, and it takes it up to a nicer residential area, and it basically serves the same purpose. Altoona has a little tiny funny one that's really for tourists who are going to the Altoona Curve Park to watch the trains kind of, you know, navigate that right. Hairpin turn. If you combine those with Pittsburgh's, kind of the place where these really, really old technologies are kind of still holding on. They're much more tourist attractions now, but, you know, Pittsburgh's are also kind of unique in that they still serve commuters, which I think is really cool. The other ones across the country are much more tourist attractions.
Okay. As the king of the hill with inclines, is it possible now with the decline that we could lose our crown?
Yeah, I think if we lost the Mon Incline, for example, then we'd only have one. Then, you know, Los Angeles has one. Johnstown has one. Chattanooga, Tennessee has one. Dubuque, Iowa has one. If we're just one, then we're not winning anymore. It's a very small margin, I guess, because we have two. So it's like, wow, we have double everybody else. But it could go away really easily. Luckily, it seems like the Duquesne Incline is functioning fine. So that one doesn't seem to be in kind of imminent danger of going away.
Okay. Well, there are some that argue that California should reign supreme. As you added in your story, the Golden State boasts five inclines. but only two of them are truly accessible to the public.
What's actually really funny is that if you're just talking about private access inclines, you know, funiculars or what are called inclined elevators, they're essentially the same thing, but funicular has a counterbalance. You always have to have two cars, basically. There are a lot of these private ones. If you go in the lakes of Wisconsin and Minnesota, people have these private ones that take them down to their lake property. So there are arguably hundreds, if not thousands, of quote unquote inclines throughout the country. But there are only so many that like serve the public or serve kind of public access times instead of just at someone's property. California, has a few. They have one in Los Angeles, Angels Flight, which is in downtown LA, and in Southern California as well. There's a really small one that takes you to a beach in South Orange County, Dana Point. There's one in Northern California that takes you to a restaurant. That's just for a restaurant. And then some theme parks have some as well. So they're close, but I would argue that they are much more exclusive and fancy, I guess, whereas like Pittsburghers are like gritty and working class and still serve commuters. So that's what I like about PAs.
So obviously there aren't 15 running inclines in Pittsburgh anymore. How have some of the changes in urban development and transportation infrastructure influenced the usage and the maintenance of our incline?
The decline of the incline really started like well over 100 years ago. Once U.S. cities, you know, and Pittsburgh started getting streetcars, trolleys, basically, that was kind of it for the incline. Streetcars can take you much farther, you know, obviously inclines are mostly a vertical climb. And so they can open up, they like opened up way more neighborhoods. I mean, we still have these like remnants of these today. So we still have what are called streetcar suburbs like Crafton, like Bellevue, like, you know, Wilkinsburg, you know, these kind of outside the city limits started to see development because of streetcars. Inclines started to really just drop off right from there. And I think the only reason the Mon Incline and the Duquesne Incline stayed, I would say two reasons. The Mon Incline stayed because it is still and was and is still a very efficient transit line. It still takes a lot of people from the south side up, you know, to Mount Washington. There are a lot of tourists that take it. There's still a decent amount of commuters that take it. The Duquesne Incline, it serves the same purpose, basically south side up to Duquesne Heights neighborhood right next to Mount Washington. And that was the community saying, hey, we need to keep this thing. And then it became a really big tourist attraction, but still has some commuters as well.
With all of the efforts to continue these two inclines, obviously there have been some issues that substantiate the need to sustain them. So what are some of the issues that we are seeing? I know that there have been recent safety concerns or incidents related to the operations of funiculars in general. Can we talk about some of the ones here in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think the problems that a lot of inclines are seeing is just trying to integrate new modern technology into these very, very old transit devices. That's what's happened with the Mon. The Mon was basically rebuilt almost completely in the 1980s, and then it was integrated with a electrical, you know, system to operate it in the 90s, and it ran pretty well for a while, and then it started to see more problems recently. And that's true of the Johnstown Incline. Has the same exact problem that it's integrating modern technology. And what's interesting is that Duquesne Incline hasn't had these same problems. It's kept its mechanical operating system to this day, which is like historic thing that, you know, tourists enjoy, like, oh wow, look at the crank, like move the incline. But that is also kind of made it easier to maintain. At least that's what the Duquesne Incline people told me, that when they see a part that's broken, they know exactly what it is. They can go, oh, that. So instead of worrying about software or any kind of like electrical system that you might have to fix, that's just like, fix that part. And so, yeah, I think that seems to be the problem. But, you know, it makes sense to want to keep it on a electrical system as well, because that does have more modern, you can shut it down easier, you can, you know, run these more modern technology to it that bigger safety implications.
So as you pointed to earlier in our conversation, these inclines in Pittsburgh are not just an attraction. Some commuters use them consistently. I would like you to talk a little bit about Kai Wilson from Mount Washington, and tell me a little bit about the role that funiculars play in connecting our neighborhoods within Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Kai is a resident of Mount Washington who I spoke to the other day. We rode the incline together, and I spoke to him at the top. And yeah, he rides it every day. He works in Oakland, so he'll ride it down, and then he'll catch a bus to Oakland from there. And he also attends CCAC over on the north side. And so he rides the incline down and then gets on the T, and that'll take him over to the north side. If you're on Mount Washington and you don't have a car or you don't want to drive, the incline is a really efficient way to get to downtown, to get to Oakland, to get to the north side. It's a really good transit connection. And for those people, it's really important to keep it running. I talked to a couple commuters, and you know, they said that's the most important thing. Just keep it running, or have some kind of shuttle bus that will get us up and down the incline really easily. If anyone's driven up to Mount Washington, they know how much of a pain it is. I actively avoid driving up there because it's so much of a pain. So I think that's what will kind of keep the incline around, just because it's such a fast way to get up and down that hill.
Like you just said, it is obviously a traffic hassle to get up that
hill. Yeah, I think it's really frustrating. I think they've made it a little bit better. They were running buses up and down there when the incline was closed. The incline since 2023 has been closed several times, and it's not really understood how long it's going to close for. It could be half a day. It could be a couple weeks. And so for people that commute, I mean, imagine how frustrating that would be, just not knowing if the thing that you rely on is going to get there. And if it's going to take a bus, that buses can't navigate smaller streets as well, so they have to take a longer, more circuitous route to get up and down Mount Washington. They've been using vans now whenever the incline shuts down, so the commuters have been more appreciative of that. But luckily the incline has not been shut down the last few months. I think it shut down for half a day the other day, but it's been running pretty consistently.
So with the decline of the incline in Pittsburgh, in the events that the incline start to shut down again, what are some of the impacts that it could have on tourism in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, well, it would be a big loss if the Mon incline totally shut down. They knew it wasn't coming back. It gets 300,000 riders a year. I think around that range. It used to get more. I would venture a guess that the drop off of that it used to get more is that it used to have more commuters. You know, a lot less people work downtown since the pandemic than they did before the pandemic. Still, I mean, 300,000 people, that's a lot. You know, the Duquesne incline gets, I think, double that because it brings in school trips and it's just constantly crowded if you've ever been over there. Business owners on top of Shiloh Street up in Mount Washington are really concerned. You know, they need that incline. They need those tourists to come up there, come get a coffee, come get a beer, come get, you know, lunch, you know, in that corridor, which is just like a few steps from the Mon Incline station. It would be a big loss.
Now, as you said, about 338,000 passengers, or about half the population of Wyoming, rode the incline in the 2022 fiscal year, which is a 66% jump from the year prior. It's actually growing. So let's talk about the possible initiatives to preserve or save the inclines. Are there any historical or cultural significances that are helping to drive the mission to preserve the inclines?
Yeah, I mean, both the inclines are already historical landmarks. So people I spoke to that were riding the incline talked about how it's a symbol of the city. You know, it's a symbol of Pittsburgh at this point. I think all of the best tourism shots that are sent out about Pittsburgh are the Duquesne incline kind of coming up from that like angle where you can see the point and everything. That's the postcard view of Pittsburgh, I think, to like most people. Mon incline has great views too. It's coming from the side of downtown, so you don't see the full point, but also has amazing views of the skyline. You know, that's a huge part of it, and I think that's why no one wants to see it go away. And I think Pittsburghers would be furious if either of the inclines ever went away. It's just hope that they can stay running consistently. If the Mon can't run consistently, Pittsburgh Regional Transit, who operates the Mon incline, has said, well, if we can't run consistently, maybe we should start talking about what can replace it. Maybe we keep it there as a historical something that we can look at, you know? But yeah, do we try to do a more modern replacement with like an aerial tram that have had success in cities like Portland and New York City. So, you know, that's maybe a possibility. I'm sure they'll just want to keep it running because it's already there. You don't have to build anything new. It's really efficient. It doesn't cost that much money to operate. I think even in this last fiscal year, it costs like $4.15 a rider or something like that to operate when the base fare is $2.75. So you're not talking about that much to operate. At one point when it had much more robust ridership before the pandemic in 2015, it actually made Pittsburgh Regional Transit money. It brought in more money than it cost to run. So it has that potential. As long as you kind of boost tourism or boost maybe workers come back downtown, then you can kind of see it get to that point again. There's really no reason to just scrap it and start over.
Okay. Well, Ryan, thank you for joining me to talk about the, how you put it, postcard view of the Pittsburgh inclines.
That's right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining. If you enjoyed this week's episode, share the podcast to help keep Western PA locally informed with insightful discussion and the latest news from your area. It's an easy way to spread the word, and it helps our podcast reach more people like you. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify and turn on episode notifications so you never miss new content. Once again, I'm Zach Gibson, and this is From the Newsroom.